This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the beauty and the sweetness of Ramadan, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts and our endeavors in the month of Ramadan. And I'm sure that the ulama and the imams in the past few weeks have been speaking about various aspects of Ramadan. I'm just going to take the opportunity of maybe reiterating some of the important aspects of Ramadan. There is one aspect of Ramadan is that we use Ramadan as a means of re-establishing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important consideration, because when we talk about re-establishing our relationship, we talk about, you know, aspects of ibadat, zikr, tilawat, namaz, salat, tarawih, etc. Now, there is no doubt that our entire life is supposed to be one of ibadat, right? Even our business, all aspects of our life is supposed to be governed by the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that way, our entire life becomes an ibadat. However, there is a specific understanding of ibadat. And this has been also echoed in the definition of ibadat, which in the Arabic language is ibaratun anit tadhalluli wal khudu. It is an aspect of humiliation and submitting yourself before Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this particular way, this ibadat that we normally understand plays a very crucial role. It is the correct manifestation of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have an informal relationship with Allah like friends. So what is the relationship between us and our Creator? It finds manifestation in ibadat. It finds a manifestation in us remembering Allah, in going down in ruku, in sijda, in salat, in zikr, in tilawat. So this is the correct relationship and manifestation of our relationship with our Creator. Another aspect is that without it, there is a vacuum in our life. Without it, there is a vacuum in our life. Just as you and I, we need a physical needs to be fulfilled, we have a spiritual need that Allah has kept within us that needs to be fulfilled. And that is not going to be fulfilled by material aspects. It is going to be fulfilled by spirituality. And this has been very beautifully explained in a Quranic verse, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, alladhina amanu, those who have iman, وَتَتْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, their hearts find contentment and satisfaction and fulfillment with the remembrance of Allah. Allah, be aware, only in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hearts find contentment. Without the remembrance of Almighty Allah in your life, I take an oath, you will find such a vacuum that you will never be able to fulfill that vacuum but by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My own personal, you know, incomplete and imperfect view is that many a times people who go to drugs, etc., they are searching for something and they're trying to fulfill that vacuum with material things, entertainment, pleasure, not realizing that that vacuum is supposed to be fulfilled by remembering Allah. And if you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never ever be able to fill that vacuum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. So in this Ramadan, we find that manner and method and time and maybe the environment gives us that opportunity to turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fulfilling such an important spiritual need. And then when we look at it is not only us. The Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam saw a need with regard to it. Look at Surah Anbiya, which I think most likely, you know, the people had read it in Tarawih, either last night or the previous night. Look at the beauty with regard to it that Allah Ta'ala says how the Anbiya turned towards Almighty Allah. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And recall Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam when he was sick and he turned towards Almighty Allah. Anni massaniya dur. O Allah, difficulty has come upon me. I have sickness has overtaken me. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. You are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Show mercy to me in my sickness. Or remember, was Zakariya idh nada rabbahu. And Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, who do not have children until old age. And he made dua to Almighty Allah. Rabbi la tadharni farda. O Allah, do not leave me without children. Wa anta khairul warithin. And you are the best of people who can give people inheritance and a legacy. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam saw that need. Why can't we in this particular month? In fact, we are supposed to do it at all times. But we re-establish and we revitalize that need in the month of Ramadan. Hazrat Atta ibn Rabah, one of our great scholars, narrates a narration on the authority of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that a group of Sahaba came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once and said, tell us something about the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was unusual, which was unique. And she said, what was not unique about the Prophet? What was not unique about our Prophet? She said, one day he came into my room and he shared the bed with me. Hatta massa jilduhu jildi. Until his flesh, it touched my flesh. And then after a while he said, Ya Ibnata Abi Bakr, O daughter of Abu Bakr, give me permission to be able to communicate with my Allah. Give me permission to be able to communicate with my Allah. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, O my husband, I would like your company and your closeness, but I give preference to what you have requested over my own desire. And then he spent the entire night in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then until his feet used to swell, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to say, O my husband, O my beloved, Allah has forgiven you. Allah has given you such a status. Why do you exert yourself so much in remembering Allah in salat, in tahajjud? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, "Kumil layla illa qalila, nisfahu aw inqus minhu qalila." Tahajjud for you and I is optional. According to the ulama, tahajjud, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it faraz upon himself. Never ever left it. So then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Afala akunu abdan shakura?" Should I not be grateful to Allah when he has given me the status? He realized and he showed gratefulness through the means of ibadah, through the means of the tahajjud, through the means of salat. So one of the aspects of Ramadan is we re-establish our relationship with Allah through the best manifestation of a relationship between the Creator and the creation. Now, one point that comes into mind is, how does this fit? How does roza and fasting fit into the concept of ibadah? A very interesting thing. Now, normally when we talk of ibadat, we talk of ibadat in the sense of doing something good. So we talk of zikr, tilawat, you know, salat. It's a positive aspect. Have you ever considered the concept of ibadat in a negative thing? So you're not doing something, but yet it is regarded as an ibadat. Subhanallah. So ibadat, normally we would take it to be like something that you are doing something positive. You are giving charity, you are performing salat, you are making zikr, you are reading the Quran. Here, Allah Ta'ala refers to an ibadat of something where you are not doing things. You are staying away from food and drink and intimacy from serital iftar. How does that fit into the concept of ibadat? Let me just spend some few minutes on this. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran had said, "Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun." I have made roza faraz upon you. And remember, when the faraz is come from Almighty Allah, depending who gives the order and the command becomes even more important. If someone tells you, go from here to Senten, you say, who are you to tell me to go to Senten? But if the boss tell him, the employer tells him, go to Senten for some work, because he's the boss, he's going to accept it. I have to go. When Allah is telling you, I have made it compulsory, that order becomes more important because Allah is the one who is giving the order. And why is it in it? Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That you may gain taqwa and you may gain piety. Now, taqwa itself is a very long definition, but I'm just going to give you one small definition. Taqwa means that consciousness of Allah, that Allah is with me, that makes you want to lead and mold your life according to that consciousness. Allah is with me. Ma yakunu min najwa thalathatin. Even if I'm three people conversing, هو رابعهم, he's the fourth. Says Allah in the 28th Surah. ولا خمسة, you are five, he is the sixth. So that level of consciousness that Allah is with me and making you want to lead your life according to that consciousness that Allah is with me. That is the taqwa that Allah wants to build within us in through fasting. And how does it be built in fasting? How is it built? It is built through the means of when you stay away from halal, you stay away from things that are blessed. Huh? Zamzam is blessed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to drink Zamzam is a sign of Iman, to drink more Zamzam. Someone tells you, yeah, sign of Iman, drink it. Sorry, I can't drink it. You can't go and say, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, so blessed water. You're not going to drink it because, so when you have disciplined yourself to create a consciousness of Allah to stay away from Zamzam, why can't you stay away from haram? Why can't you stay away from backbiting? Why can't you stay away from things which are prohibited? You see? So this is fasting. We take fasting for granted. It is an amazing, amazing ibadat. Although it is an ibadat that we don't do things. We make a joke with regard to it and you think it's only about staying away from, you know, food and drink. So there was a radio, Radio Islam or one of those things, and there was, you know, a situation with regard to making a request for different types of nazams or tilawat that you like. So one, you know, person phoned and said, I would like to make a request. Said, what request? I would like to be that Maghrib Azan must be sounded now, in the course of the day. So we look at the benefits of Roza. Another aspect, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ramadan is a month of kindness and compassion. Now, why did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specifically say it's a month of kindness and compassion when we are supposed to have kindness and compassion throughout the year? It is such an important quality. Hazrat Aisha, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Aisha, be kind and compassionate because Allah is kind and compassionate. And He gives for kindness and compassion which He does not give for harshness. Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say it's a month of kindness and compassion? Let me tell you, the reason is, my dear respected brothers, sometimes it's difficult to inculcate kindness when you have a comfortable way of living. When you have three square meals a day, you can't understand the pangs of hunger of a poor person. You can't understand it sometimes. So that is why we know the very famous statement attributed to Maria Antoinette, the Queen of France at the time of the French Revolution, when she was told that the people are protesting. And she said, why are they protesting? They said, they're protesting because they don't have bread to eat. And she replied that if they don't have bread, let them eat cake. Because she couldn't understand that they have to. They don't have money to buy bread. But when we are eating three square meals a day, where do we understand the pangs of hunger of the poor person? So Allah Ta'ala says through the means of hunger, through the means of fasting, when you get some form of hunger, you come to realize that there are people who don't do it because of a religious obligation, they do it because of circumstances. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said in a hadith, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih, fasting is for me and I will reward it. You know, last week I gave six different interpretations of this beautiful hadith. I will just today, because time is running out, I'm going to give two understanding of this hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fasting is for me, wa ana ajzi bih, and I myself will reward it. Or if you utilize and said, wa ana ujza bih, if you read, you can read it either with a fatah, with a fatah, or with a zamma, right? Or the way we would normally say, that's how they would say it in Arabic. In the Gujarati state, they would say with a zabar or a pesh, right? Ana ajzi bih, wa ana ujza bih. Ajzi mean I will give the reward. And ana ujzabi, I myself will be the reward. Now, amongst the interpretation of this verse, one interpretation of this hadith is, in every other ibadat, there is an indication and there is a sign or there is a possibility of doing it for name and fame. You can be performing salat. People will say, What a namazi person, how pious he is. He comes to the masjid half an hour before salat and he goes right last. Right? I'm not saying people who do that are like that. But there's a possibility. You could be giving charity at the time. People will say, what a generous person. Look at what a donation he gave. But in fasting, there is no possibility of name and fame. This is one ibadah, there is no possibility of name and fame. Whoever fasts for the sake of Allah, he's doing it solely for Allah. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says, Sawm is for me and I myself will reward it. Or I myself will become the reward for the person who keeps fast. Then you find that in one narration, you know, there is an indication towards us, the narration, that Kiraman Katibin, every other act becomes apparent for them. Salat, they can record 2 rakats of Salat, 20 rakats of Taraweeh, right? How much of concentration was that? Allah knows, but they'll record it. You made 20 rakats of Taraweeh, alhamdulillah. You read half a supara. You read the juz. You made one khatam. It can be recorded. But how do you record fasting? How do you record fasting? The kiram and katibin go to Allah and say, oh Allah, how do we record the reward of fasting? So Allah Ta'ala tells them, oh my angels, don't record it. You don't have the possibility and you don't know how to record it. Leave it to me, I will reward it. Leave it to me, I will give the reward. Leave it to me, I will become the reward of the person who is fasting. So when we talk of ibadat, I gave the example with regard to why ibadat is so important. But have we ever considered fasting as an ibadat? And how significant is it as an ibadat? Therefore, now you realize that why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the time of iftar, after eating one kajur, having a little bit of water, he used to make this dua. And it is something that I would like to recommend that we make this dua. Dhahaba az-zama'u wabtallat al-uruq wa thabata al-ajr insha'Allah. Repeat it after me, insha'Allah. Dhahaba az-zama'u wabtallat al-uruq wa thabata al-ajr. Oh Allah, the thirst has been quenched, the arteries have been moistened, and insha'Allah, the reward from you is guaranteed. This roza, which we take as a granted, we just do it because, well, I'm supposed to stay away from this time to this time, I'm staying away from food and drink. Do we realize the significance of it? So the second point that I would like to have made mention in today's Jummah was, one, the concept of ibadat, why it is the right relationship between us and our Creator. The second thing is the concept of roza as an ibadat. And lastly, in the last few minutes that I have, I would just like to make mention. You see, one important point that we have to keep in mind, Islam is not only for those who are super pious and those who are muttaqi. It is for each and everyone. Yes, we do respect those who have piety. There's always been a sense of respect for the people who are pious. When we read the kitabs and we read the books and we find that mention is made that this one made so much of ibadat. And Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, for so many years, he made, you know, Fajr Salat with the wuzu of Isha. All of that, we come to admire it. It might not be the norm, right? And not everyone can reach that, although we aspire to it. We cannot reach it, but we aspire to it. Ana uhibbu salihin walastu minhum. I'm not a pious person, but I wish to be amongst the pious person. And I love them because of my love for the pious. Maybe Allah will resurrect me amongst the pious people. Right? But at the end of the day, we are also people who are those who commit sin and guna and sin. Right? Sahih Muslim, there's a very amazing hadith, and please don't misunderstand this hadith. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you do not commit sin, if you do not commit sin, said Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah says, I will create another nation who will commit sin. If you do not commit sin, I will create another nation who will commit sin. And the reason for that is very easy to understand. Many of the qualities of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are to do with forgiveness and mercy. Allah is ghafoor. Allah is the one who forgives. Allah is afu, the one who pardons. If you're not going to commit sin, who is Allah going to forgive and pardon? So Allah Ta'ala says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you do not commit sin, Allah will create another nation who will commit sin. And then they will ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And then when they ask for forgiveness, Allah will forgive them. We do not justify our wrong. We do not justify our wrong. But we believe that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, Kullu bani Adama khatta'un, each and every human being other than the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam has committed wrong. And the best of those people who have committed mistakes are those who turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. So in Ramadan, there's a time for equalizing. A time for us also to be counted amongst those, and an opportunity to come closer towards Almighty Allah and have that particular type of taqwa. To be counted amongst the servants of Almighty Allah. To be counted amongst those who have some form of devotion And they turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. Not justifying their sins. Saying that, Ya Allah, we have committed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the essence of Tawbah is regret. If you want to give one word to Tawbah, what is one word to describe Tawbah? It is regret over the wrong that you have done. A remorse over the wrong that you have done. Show that remorse, you are halfway through with regard to Tawbah. And then when we do that, we bear in mind that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusim. Oh, you who, says Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those who have done wrong, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah will forgive all types of guna. And let me conclude with one beautiful poem. Hatim bin Asam rahmatullahi alayhi says, I was in the Kaaba and in the darkness of the night. That time there never used to be much light. So I heard someone singing poetry. And in this poetry, he was saying this, Ya may yujibul mudtarra fi zalami. Oh, the one who responds to the distressed person in the darkness of the night. Wa ya kashifal balwa wal dar ya kashifad durri wal balwa fi sakami. Oh, the one who removes the distress of the distressed person. In kana judaka la yarju dhu safahin. Oh Allah, if your generosity and your mercy is only for the pious. فَمَنْ يَجُودُ بِالْعَاسِينَ بِالْكَرَمِ. Who will show mercy to the sinners? Hatim bin Asam said, I rush to see who was saying these beautiful words. I saw it was Zaydul Abidin, the great grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the son of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I said, oh grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are the family of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What makes you say this great poem, this great poetry? So he said, Hatim, don't you know that Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ. When the day of Qiyamah come, there will be no consideration given to family. I'm also in need of that. But look at that words. Oh Allah, if you don't show mercy to us, who will show mercy? So I've concluded with three important messages in this Jummah talk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.